You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Give a warm expression of appreciation for our dear pastor.
Thank you, guys. What a joy to be with you this day. To worship the Lord on the first Sunday of 2025. And I look down and I see so many of you, and it's great that you would set time aside to worship the Lord. And I do pray that you'll be encouraged with what God is doing in this church here. If this is your first time to Sun Life Church, welcome. My name is Bin, and I'm one of the leaders and pastors here, and I get the joy of teaching God's Word this morning. And I do pray that as I teach the Word of God, that the goal is not for me to entertain you or keep you engaged, but the goal is for me to be faithful to the Word of God, and that you would hear His voice for you today, and that we come here to worship Him, but we also come here to hear what He has to say to us, that we are open to the Spirit of God to speak to us, and that we're not just hearers but also doers of God's Word. That God will speak to us and God will challenge us. And I do really pray that you go and you would just really do the Word of God. Amen? Amen. There was a movie that came out probably 20 years ago. It's on the screen behind me. Titled Love, Actually. Have you seen that movie? Yeah, it's one of those movies that came out during Christmas time. Right, it's one of those romantic comedy. It's great. Go and watch it. Right, and there's an iconic scene at the end of the movie where the character Mark, right, he's knocking at Juliet's apartment door. He's knocking and he waits patiently for her to open the door, but she doesn't hear his knock. Why? Because she's celebrating her wedding. She's celebrating her wedding and her new husband. And Mark, he just knocks and he waits patiently. Obviously, she doesn't hear him. And if you watch the movie, and there's a subplot, right? And the subplot of the movie is that the character Mark secretly loves Juliet. But he doesn't show her that. And so go and watch it. Go and watch it. Now, why did I say this? It's because I believe that throughout this year here, God waits patiently for us to open the door and invite Him into the areas that we want to see change. I believe that this year, there are a few things that you probably want to do differently, that you want to change, and that you want to experience God more, or there's areas of sin that you really want God to come in and take reign of that area so that you would live differently. And I believe God waits patiently, and He knocks on the door of your heart, and it's up to us to listen and open and invite Him in. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This is the Word of God. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. See, the context here in the book of Revelation is that Jesus is addressing the seven churches in the region of Asia Minor. So when you read your Bible, right, and you stumble upon cities or churches in the cities of Ephesus, Colossae, Smyrna, whether it's Lystra, Derbe, Laodicea, Philadelphia, the Philadelphia in the Bible is not the Philadelphia in America, okay? They all belong to the region of Asia Minor. And so right here, right, in chapter 3, Jesus is addressing the church of Laodicea. I've got a map right here. And if you've read Revelation, there are seven churches that Jesus begins to address. And this particular church here is a very content, it's like a meh church. It's like, yeah, they're like pretty average, okay? And Jesus says, I see your work. And he says, you know, if you read that chapter, he goes that you're not hot and you're not cold. You're what? You're meh. You're lukewarm. You're just in the middle somewhere. Jesus says, you should be one or the other, but don't just idle in the middle, right? And he begins to say this to them in verse 17 of chapter 3. He says, you say, to the church, right? And so the church says, I am rich. So the church says that I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are rich, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So basically, this church is saying, well, we can be lukewarm. We don't have to be hot. We don't have to be cold. We've got wealth. We've got success. We've got money. And I still think that's a danger today. That's still a danger today, you know? That we think that in the new year, if I make a bit more money than last year, if I get that pay rise, climb up the corporate ladder, more money, I'm happier. And Jesus goes, don't you realize you're blind? You've got it all wrong. You're rich. You're actually poor. You're naked. You've got it wrong. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. You see, these are harsh words to the followers of Christ in Laodicea. But it's important for them to hear these hard words. It's important for them to realize that they are blind and they are poor and they are a wretch, because the Bible tells us, Jesus says that I want to rebuke you, I want to discipline you because what? I love you. You need to hear these things. I love you, and I want you to what? Earnestly, I want you to repent. I want you to turn away and go where I want you to go. Maybe for some of us, being the first Sunday of 2025, there are areas that God really wants you to turn away from. Let me say, this is a good day to turn away from those things. There's no better day than today to say, God, it's the first Sunday of the new year. I want to get it right. And then now look in verse 20, the verse that I started the talk. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And I will eat with that person and they with me. Can you see how verse 19 and 20 are the two sides of the one coin? On one side, on verse 19, Jesus says, I love you and that's why I'm disciplining you and I'm rebuking you. And I have these harsh words because I want you to repent and change. And then on the other side, on verse 20, he says that I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to come in and I'm going to help you change. That I want to go into the areas of your messiness and I want to help you change. Because the language of eating together in Jewish culture talks about commitment, talks about fellowship, talks about a covenant and agreement. And so what Jesus is saying here is that if I come in to that space of messiness, I am committed to you. Just like if you remember in Genesis 18, when Abraham ate with God, God was saying, I am committed in seeing you, Abraham, be a blessing to many nations, that you will be a father to many, even when Abraham at that point in time did not have any children. But God says, I am committed to you. And right here in Revelation 3, when Jesus says, I will come in, and we will eat together. I will eat with you and you will eat with me. This is God's way of saying, if you open the door, as I wait patiently outside, knocking the door of your heart, I will come into the messiness of the areas that you want to see change and I will help you. You know, I remember years ago when I first got my first car. I've got a picture, not of the exact car, but a Toyota Celica, 1974. Now, look at that beautiful piece of work right there. And this is the car that I picked up Tran on our first date. Yeah. Guys, listen, girls love red cars. That's my advice right there, all right? But I remember having this car, right? And my father would actually help me service my car. You know, he never said, "Hey, Ben, save some money, son. Go and figure out how to service the car and go to change the oil. You figure it out." Because I tell you, back then, there was no internet, no YouTube, there was nothing, no Google, no AI. You would probably have to go to the manual in the glove box that you never opened, by the way, and learn how to service your car. Dad never said, "Go and figure it out yourself, son." No. He was there with me. We were together under the car, changing the oil. It was a mess. It was dirty, looking at the spark plug, replacing the brake fluid. Oh, my goodness, it was messy. But Dad was there with me every step of the way. And I believe, in a way, God does that for us. He wants us to change. He wants us to grow in certain areas. And He promises that He will be there with us and He will help us. And He wants to help us. And He waits patiently, knocking on the door of our hearts. And we are to listen and open that door and invite Him in to the areas where we need Him most so that He can actually help us. The Apostle Paul, I love it how he puts it like this in Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire. The desire to change comes from God, and the power to do what pleases Him. The text is very clear. God wants to help you change. Areas that you want to see improve this year, God wants to help you, and He wants to give you the desire to want to change, and He wants to give you the power to change. And all you have to do is listen to His knock as He waits patiently outside and welcome Him in. St. Clement of Alexandria, first century church forefather, I quote him, "God wants to help us to change our lives, to transform our souls and to renew our minds so that we may become like Him." He wants to change you. And if this morning you feel like, "Yeah, Ben, I want to change. I need to change. There are areas that I saw in 2024 that did not bring glory to God. And this year, I'm determined to see changes in those areas. I want more of God in that space. I want God's help." Let me say that God is near. He is nearer than you think He is. In fact, I believe that God is even here. As I teach the word, as we worship, He is here, and transformation can take place today. God is near to those who are brokenhearted. God is near to those who are crushed in their spirit, and He wants you to invite Him into that place so that He will change you. The psalmist says this in Psalms 34:18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." Do you feel broken this morning? Do you feel defeated from last year that this year you want to see change? Well, the Bible's clear. He is near to those who are brokenhearted. And He saves the crushed in spirit. He wants to do a work in you. And maybe for some of you this morning, you don't even know Jesus. And you're here because you want to have that connection with God. He is near. He wants to come into that space to give you the faith, to trust Him, to believe in Him, and make this year count. He waits patiently, and He knocks on the door of your heart, and it's up to us to listen and open and invite Him into that place of messiness so that He can change you and me. So let me give you some practical things, right? If you're taking notes, take notes. It's also in the church app, so you can open up the church app. Here's some practical things that I want you to consider in 2025. And I think it's important for me to start off this year with a message where it's so practical that if you're willing to take this on board, I believe God's going to do some amazing thing in your life this year. Number one is we are to saturate in Scripture. You got to saturate yourself in the Word of God. A.E.W. Tozer says this: the scriptures are the voice of God speaking to us in the stillness of our souls, guiding us, comforting us, and convicting us. As you read the Word of God, you are hearing the voice of God. If you want to experience more of God, if last year is a year where you are lacking in hearing the knock of God, the voice of God, maybe a change for this year is to saturate yourself in the Word of God. If we are not in His Word, listen carefully, if you are not saturated in the Word of God, you will not be able to listen to the knock of God, the voice of God. I'm sorry, but I want to be very clear right here. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you do not open up the pages of Scripture for an entire year and still think that God is going to speak to you, you may not know if that is the voice of God or some other voice. But I promise you that if you're in the Word of God, saturating your minds in Scripture, you will hear Him louder, clearer. Jesus once said this in Matthew 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You know, bread is very important, right? Bread is very important, unless you're on a no-carb diet. But for most of us, we eat bread basically every day, maybe for breakfast. The Word of God should be like bread for each day and not a cake for a special occasion that sometimes we only open up when we need it. But it should be something that we have daily. Right here, the Word of God, the Bible. And here's my challenge for us. Why don't we as a community read the Word of God together? For some of us, maybe the challenge is to read the entire Bible in this year. For some of you, maybe the challenge is just to start reading the Word of God this year. Doesn't matter. But if you have done something last year where you've realized there was no Bible involvement, maybe this year be in the Word of God. So I've got this QR code here with the YouVersion Bible app. Download it. If you want to, you can grab your phone. It's an app that you can download and select your Bible reading plans. You can read the Bible for a year. You can read section of the Bible. If you're a new Christian, you can read the new devotion for new believers. But it's an amazing tool. On your phone, young people, you can also download this and read. And by the way, that's a QR code for the Apple Store. All right, for those with an Apple phone, I didn't know if the Android user had the technology to download stuff, so I didn't have a QR code for the Android people. That's a joke, by the way. Don't get upset, Simon, okay? Remember, listen, it will be hard for those who've never read the Bible. That's why it requires discipline, but just keep reading. You might come to a passage or a chapter where it's pretty difficult. Don't give up. Just keep reading. And there may be weeks where you just don't want to read. Don't give up. Just read. There may be weeks where you forget and you feel bad and the evil one is very smart and says things like, "Don't worry, you've missed a couple weeks already. Just forget about it. Start in 2026. Don't. Keep on reading. Maybe you read with your connect group. Maybe you eyeball someone after the service, or even right now, you and me, let's be accountable. Let's read the Word of God. Yeah, I will check on you check on me. Whatever it takes, be disciplined. Read. And I promise you, money back guarantee, promise you, you will hear the knock of God, the voice of God, as you saturate this year in Scripture. And that's a challenge for us. Connect leaders, why don't you encourage your community to read the Word of God? And that also keeps you accountable in reading the Word of God. So that's the very first thing. Saturate, you know, our minds, our hearts, our eyes, and the Word of God. Number two is we have to start, you know, a personal devotion. You know, I think it's very important that not only just read the Word of God, but we should have our own personal devotion. As you read the Bible, begin to hear God. You know, I've taught this before, but the acronym COMA is very, very important. COMA, C-O-M-A. Some people teach SOAP, S-O-A-P. But I like COMA. C for context. The context of what you're reading. I mean, it's very, very important that when you read the Word of God, you don't just jump into what you think it means, but ask yourself a question. You know, who's writing this? Who's the original audience? Because remember, the Bible wasn't written for us. It was written for an original audience, and then God applies it to us. So ask yourself the question, who's the audience? Who's the writer? What's the occasion? What type of writing is this? Is this a prophecy? Is this a parable? Is this a letter from Paul? Is this poetry? Is this historical? This is where you might have to hop on Google or your friend AI, and that's okay. Try to understand the context. But if you get the context right, you get a better chance of having your own personal devotion. You know, there's a saying I read once. You take the text out of context and you're left with a con. Yeah, you're left with a con. So don't miss the context. C for context. O for observation. As you read the Word of God, I believe Holy Spirit will illuminate a phrase or words. It's going to keep coming back at you. It's going to pop up at you. Read that word or those the phrase again and again and know that God is illuminating something. God is speaking to you. If you read fast, right? If you read really, really fast, there's a very good chance that you'll miss out what God wants to say to you. Read slowly. Don't read the Bible as if, okay, I'm going to read this because if I do this one chapter, I can start my day and God's going to bless me this day. No, don't read the Bible like that. Come into the Bible saying, God, as I read your word, I am trusting and believing that you're going to speak to me. That means you're going to read it slowly and carefully. And you're going to wait for God to illuminate a word or a phrase because God is giving you something. That's O for observation. Highlight that word. Write that word down. Write that phrase down. And now M is meaning. I wonder what that means. I wonder what that phrase means. I wonder what that word means. This is where you need to do some research as you figure out what God is illuminating. God is speaking to you. Some great questions to ask is what does this teach me about God? What does this phrase or this word teach me about God? Or what does this phrase or word teach me about my situation? You know, what does it teach me about how I should relate to the people around me or relate to God? This is when you're trying to figure out the meaning of what you're reading. You can't just jump straight into the meaning. You've got to go context. Allow God to bring that word or phrase as an observation and then now figure out what it means. C-O-M, now A, is application. Apply it. You know, God is going to tell you to do something. You got to obey. You got to trust. You got to live it out. How can I apply what God has spoken to me through His Word? I mean, there's nothing better than hearing God regularly and living and following the will and obeying God's Word. Nothing better than that. Ask yourself the question, how can I obey or respond to what God is saying? What steps can I take today? You know, how can I pray or worship in response to what God is saying? That's application. That is the practical element of doing what God wants. Remember in James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do it. Live it out. Coma. Context. Observation. Meaning. Application. So number one, remember, is saturate in Scripture. Read the Bible. And you will hear His knock. And you will hear His voice as He waits patiently for you. And number two, start your personal devotion. For some of you, you might want to journal what God's been saying to you. And you may read back in a few months' time and see what God has been doing. Or you might want to journal on your phone. And number three is share your journey with others. This one's important. Because as you begin to hear God, as you begin to invite God into the space where you want to see transformation, and God begins to do a work in your situation, don't forget to share it with others. Very, very important. There are so many testimonies in this church. God is doing a beautiful work. Just before the service, someone shared me an amazing work of God in their situation. It encouraged me so much. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We are to what? Declare the praises of God, what God has been doing. I'm very sure that for a lot of you throughout last year, God has been doing an amazing work in your situation. Don't forget to share it. Share what God's been doing. Share your journey with the people around you. And let me give you reasons why you should share. Here are some reasons why you should share. Number one, it's accountability. It's good for you. Do you know why? Because when you share with someone what God has been doing in your situation, you're really keeping yourself accountable because you really want God to be doing a work in you. Because if you've got nothing to share for an entire year, maybe that entire year you didn't even experience God. You know that, right? You can follow Jesus for many years and not even experience God. God is there. He's waiting patiently. He's knocking. He's speaking to you, but you ain't listening. So if you have nothing to share, maybe that's because you haven't experienced God. But when you share, it's accountability for you. It's you going, yeah, God's been doing this in my private devotion. This is God been doing in my reading time. It keeps you accountable. And that's very, very important. So my encouragement is to share your journey with others. Secondly, it's humility. It humbles you. It humbles you. Because when you say to someone, guess what? Guess what God did? Guess what God did when I prayed out to him? And this only took place because God heard my prayer and God came in and intervened. Well, you're depending upon God. You're growing your humility. When you don't invite God, when you want to do things yourself, if you want to change yourself, if you want to do things without God, well, guess what? That's arrogance. That's saying, I'm God. That's saying, I can change myself. I can transform myself. But when you say, God, I need you. I'm seeking you to do something in my situation. And when God does it, and you share it with people and say, look what God has done, it humbles you. It humbles you, and that's amazing. Number three, it's gonna encourage the listener. Do you know that? I get a message from one of you yesterday, text message, just telling me, you know, along the lines of, Pastor, God's been saying this to me for our church. And I'm like, wow. And I'm reading it, and the person's talking about God has been saying this to me, you know, about discipleship and the importance of being in small group. And I was like, man, that was the best news, eh? I needed that. That God would speak to you and that you would share it to me. That really encourages me. So when you share your journey with someone else, what God has been doing, it's going to build someone else's faith. It's going to encourage them. Not only is it good for you because it grows your humility and your accountability, but it's going to encourage the listener. That's why we have to share. Here's another reason why. Community. It builds healthy, spiritual community. You notice what I said? Not healthy community, but healthy, spiritual community. What I'm trying to do here is build healthy spiritual community. And when you have people following Jesus with you and they share what God has been doing, it's gonna grow our church to be a healthy spiritual place. Look, it's very important. Can I say this? That this year here, you wanna find spiritual friends. Very, very important. The people here, I believe that's God's gift for you. Find spiritual friends. There's nothing wrong with non-spiritual friends. We need to have non-spiritual friends because ultimately we want to introduce them to Jesus. But let's be honest, right? It's very hard to be at the pub, right, watching the cricket, and in between drinks, say to your non-Christian friend, "Hey, I've been reading Zechariah, and God's been saying this to me." Man, that's going to freak the guy out. He doesn't want to be your friend. But when you have spiritual friends, and you say, "Hey, I've been reading Zechariah, and the prophecy is pretty crazy, but I think God's been saying this to me, and He's working in my heart." Wow, that spiritual friend, he or she gets it. And it's only going to encourage healthy spiritual community. That's why we need to find community here. And I'm going to say that to the day God takes me home. That if you want to follow Jesus, it's very hard to follow Jesus alone. You need to find your group, your small group. I had a lady who came and had dinner with us a couple of weeks ago, and she's in our church, and she said to me, "I love my connect group." And I asked her why. She goes, "Because they're my family. They're praying for me, and every time I need support, they're there for me." And she says to me that, you know, "I don't have a lot." And I know this person doesn't have a lot. This person doesn't have a lot. Don't drive a nice car or live in an expensive suburb or live in a big house, or this person travels to exotic places. But this person said to me, "But I have my community." And I nearly cried. I'm like, "Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that she has found her community. And they are encouraging her, and she's encouraging them. And as we begin to share our journey, we're going to build healthy spiritual community." Okay, one more. This is the last one. Is that, you know, when you share your journey, it brings glory to God, God's glory. I'll tell you why. Because when you talk about what God has done and boast on the works of God, don't boast on yourself, please, because people can see that, and God can definitely see that. But when you boast on what God has done, guess what? It brings glory to God, because it started with God. So, you know, during Christmas, my little daughter Matilda, she's only 8 years old, she went Christmas shopping, you know, to buy presents for Tran and her brothers, and for me, with my money. Well, she's only 8 years old, right? She doesn't work a part-time job yet. That's probably next year or the year after. But she's spending my money, and she's buying this for Tran and this for the brothers and this for me. And I'm just like, wow, you know what? I'm so moved. Well, that's the same with God. You know, you're blessed because guess what? God bless you. You have a good job. Guess what? God bless you. You have a beautiful family. Guess what? God bless you. You've got good health, good finances. Guess what? Yeah, you got it. God bless you. It starts with God. He's a blesser, and we receive His blessing. So when He changes us and does a work in our messiness, and there's breakthroughs and there's miracles, well, share it, because the glory belongs to Him. And He's glorified. And listen carefully. I think, and I might need to do some more research on this, and you might do some more research on this. I think that when God is glorified through our sharing, God blesses us even more. I need to do some more reading and some research, but I think that when you bring glory to God with your blessing, God will bless you more. And here's why. Because God knows that it's His glory, and you are a good steward of His glory. Therefore, when you have been blessed by God and you don't point to yourself, but point to God, He will bless you even more, so that there's more glory to Him. That's what He does. I swear for some of us here, right? Your life is such a joy. Your life is one blessing after the next. I believe that correlates to the fact because you're bringing the glory to God. So we do that. That's the reason why we should share our journey with others. Let me just say this. It's a new year. It's a fresh start. New opportunities for us to hear God, listen to Him, open the door of our hearts, invite Him in. C.S. Lewis, I quote him, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." Start today. Saturate in Scripture today. Start a personal devotion today. Start sharing your journey today. And I guarantee you, the ending of this year will be different to the ending of last year. Today, we can all, as a community, hear the knock of God, the voice of God, welcome Him into the messiness of our world, and let Him do what He does best to change our situation. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for reminding us on this day, our first Sunday. Yeah, God, I pray for this church here. Lord, there's no better day to get things right with you. I pray that there is boldness, there is just, yeah. God, I desire to live differently in 2025. Yeah, would you do that work? Would you do that work in us all? In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Why don't we be upstanding? We're gonna sing, we're gonna worship the Lord. But I'm gonna invite you, as always, you know, as we sing, maybe for some, God has been speaking to you very clearly. You're like, yeah, I need to live differently this year. I need to really, yeah, get things right. Well, I want you to know that this is a community where we don't judge one another. No one is better than one another. We're all sinners. We're all messed up, but we have each other to follow Jesus together. If that is you, I would love to pray for you. So I want to invite anyone who feels that, yeah, Pastor, this is a year that I want to get things right. I need more of God. I need to hear Him clearer. I need to welcome Him into my space. I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to have, you know, the controls. I want Him to take control. Come forward. And then we're going to minister and we're going to pray. Okay? It doesn't matter where you are. And so as we worship, please, I invite you to come forward and let's minister together and pray. Can we do that? Let's do that. Let's do it right now.